We're going to talk about food today, food in the Bible, preparing food in the Bible. Okay, there weren't many kitchens. I had a look, and there aren't many kitchens mentioned, but there is food preparation mentioned in the Bible. Okay, so today's society is a drive-through society. Chris said to me last week, I can't believe we've hardly got any drive-throughs here. In the Philippines, it's all drive-throughs. You know, going for a coffee, let's go and drive through and get a coffee. Go and get your meal, drive through, get your meal. And I think we have lost something with drive-throughs. We've lost something with the fast food, McDonald's, Burger King, what have you. Although I do know from personal experience that the McDonald's at New Haven is not a fast food emporium. It took 15 minutes for them to produce one burger for me a couple of weeks ago. I don't believe it. There you are. You see, you're so wanting. You want it now. And it's just... life changes. Society changes to build around this quick bite to eat on the way through. But I'm pretty certain that food is actually a really important part of being together. Okay? We're going to start in Genesis. We're going to finish in Revelation. It won't be a long preach. Okay? But I want us to see where food comes in the Bible and where it can come in for us. Now, I've got my friend Sebastian over in Uganda. And he has coined a phrase, okay, it's his original phrase, as far as I'm aware. And when he sits down to eat with someone and have some fellowship, he calls it swallowship. Okay, I thought it was, he said, okay, let's have some swallowship together. That means we're going to sit down and eat food. And I think it's really great to be able to spend time with people. Okay, and spending time with over a meal, somehow it relaxes people. You know, when you're sitting down and you're starting to eat, you just begin to relax, and rather than I'm grabbing a quick burger on the way through, oh let's go and sit down together here. Quick, have a McDonald's together. Oh, I'm done. Bye. You've lost something, haven't you? So when was the first meal in the Bible? Okay, I reckon, oh, I had that already. I reckon it was Adam and Eve. The first shared meal was a piece of forbidden fruit. Okay, I think that's the first food that was shared in the Bible was disobedience. Imagine that. That actually, Eve took that fruit. Everyone thinks it was an apple, but I don't think it was. It could have been anything. That she took the fruit off the tree, she ate it, and she offered it to her husband. And that was the beginning of the fall of mankind. Okay? So right at the beginning, there's a sharing. Okay? Although that was catastrophic, wasn't it? But then, I reckon the second one that's worth looking at is Abraham and his three visitors. I'm sorry, I've got... Chloris, do you think you could go to the kitchen and get me a glass of water, please? I'm struggling here. Thank you. Abraham and his three visitors. Now, there's Abraham in his tent, or tents, because he'd got quite a large entourage. He'd got, was it 318 servants? I think it was, wasn't it? 318 servants he had. And... he was sitting in his tent doorway overlooking the plain of Jordan. And wonderful, thank you so much. And he was approached by three men. Now, many Bible scholars say, well, that was the Lord coming to him Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but people have decided over time that yes, that could possibly have been the Lord coming. And, or we know it was God coming, but it was it Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We don't know. But God came in the form of three men to Abraham. And they were on their journey towards Sodom, a place of sin. And Abraham said to them, oh, stop, please stop. I think that the actual words that he uses in the scripture are, come and refresh yourself with a morsel of bread before you carry on. And they said, okay. So they sat down outside his tent, and he rushes off. And he goes and gets, he says to Sarah, start making bread. He says to one of his servants, here, take this young lamb, kill it, dress it, cook it. Okay? Now, this is the opposite of fast food, isn't it? Okay? You've got to make the bread. You've got to let it... Well, we probably didn't let it rise in those days, did they? You've got to knead it, put it in the oven. You've got to kill the lamb. You've got to get it ready. You've got to roast it. It must have taken some time. Now, going back to my friend Sebastian, when I first used to visit him, he'd say, let's have some food. And at that point, right at the beginning of my friendship with him, he didn't have a wife. And he would say, right, sit here, I'm going to prepare food. And 2 or 3 hours later, the food would appear, by which time I was ready for bed, you know? And food, it takes time to prepare, doesn't it? Okay, so we've got a inference, you could say, to preparation of food here with Abraham. Okay, and as they were there together, as they ate, God gave Abraham a promise for the impossible. In fact, let me open it up. And he promised something. In fact, he said it about his Sarah, his wife. You know, Sarah was unable to have children, and by this time she's about 75, 76, something like that. Very old. And they said this. They, the three men, said to Abraham, where's Sarah, your wife? And he said, here in the tent. And he, that's the Lord, said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Sarah and Abraham were old, well advanced in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Surely, shall I bear a child since I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So he gave Abraham and Sarah a promise over food. Okay. They were having fellowship. Okay, or as Sebastian would say, swallowship. So then we go on to New Testament, and we've got Mary and Martha. I think this is probably the most famous kitchen things in the Bible. Okay, and there's Mary and Martha, and Jesus is in their house, and he did. That's right. We're not talking about that at the moment. We're talking about Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha were in a house with their brother. And Jesus had gone there. And he was sitting down in the lounge. And Mary was in the lounge. And Martha was in the kitchen, hot and flustered. And we don't know how long she'd been in the kitchen. She came out absolutely flustered and said, don't you care? My sister has left me alone in the kitchen. Tell her to help me. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Oh, I'm doing all this by myself. Now, personally, I love cooking. All right, I love it. Michelle would say, can I help you? I'd say, no, I've got it, it's okay. Or, I love to be in the kitchen. But when you're serving for a group of people, you need that extra help. And there was Martha fussing and what have you. And Jesus said this, said, Martha, 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 you're worried and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. Mary's chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She had decided to sit with Jesus and listen to Jesus. Now, some people would say, oh yeah, but you'll never eat if you all just sit listening to Jesus. And there is a place for working in the kitchen. But Martha had taken it on her to really, oh. It says Martha was distracted with the serving. Not, we mustn't get distracted. We must take time to be able to listen to Jesus. Okay? So here's one that you might not have thought about. This is Simon the Pharisee. Okay? And we're going to look at this story a little bit more in depth. Okay? And Jesus was invited to Simon's house. And he was a Pharisee, someone, I don't know what his motivation was to get Jesus into his house. Was it to trick him, to trip him up? I don't know. But let's actually read the story together. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from the city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. You might think, well, how on earth can she do that if they're sitting at a table? Well, this would have been a low-level thing, and they would have been reclining. They'd have been lying on the ground, a bit like this. They'd have been like this, you know, and using one hand to eat with. What else can I do while I'm down here? Let's carry on with the story. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She is a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him this story. A man owed money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one, and 50 pieces to the other, but neither could repay them. So he kindly forgave them both, cancelling their debts. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the larger debt. And of course that was the case. But then Jesus said this. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust off my feet, but she's washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with her perfume. There we are, washing the feet, anointing them with perfume. I tell you, Jesus said, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she's shown me much love. But a person who's forgiven little shows only a little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said amongst themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So I wonder if you can imagine. I mean, I couldn't find any pictures of low-level stuff. There's Jesus reclining and the woman over his feet. That whole thing, that whole meal, interrupted by someone who needed forgiving. And she was forgiven. Okay, so important to remember that we can be forgiven. Okay. So the last thing I want to talk about is Jesus and us. And this is in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. If you wondered why I chose that children's song, this is the reason why. Okay? Jesus, through John, the writer of the book of Revelation, is saying something to one of the churches, and he says this: look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Okay. Last Sunday, after we'd had Florence and Sam here, they came back to our house for a meal. And we just had and Sam and Chrissy came, and we had a really nice time, didn't we? Just the six of us around the table. It was really nice just to sit and chat and find out a bit more about what's going on there in Uganda. And it's so important for us to use meals. I mean, in the very early days of this church, there was always a house available for people to go to eat. We've lost it. I think it's society and the way we are now. We've lost it. I'd really love to be able to see that no one goes back to an empty house, but everyone has got the offer of someone to be able to go and eat with. That's an idea I've got anyway. So Jesus is saying, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And most of you will know this picture. This is a picture called The Light of the World. It's drawn by a man called Holman Hunt. I don't know when he painted it. And it's called The Light of the World. And it's a picture of Jesus knocking at the door of our heart. Okay? And when he finished it, there were critics. And the critics said, there's no door handle on the outside. He said, no, that's right. The door handle to your heart is on the inside. And only you can open it. Okay? So Jesus today, he's saying, look, listen, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. One of my brother-in-laws, the brother that was born after Michelle, many years ago, Michelle and I were, this was before we were married, we were going to a meeting in Hove, and we got back fairly late. She forgot her key to her family house. So we got outside the house, and at the ground floor window was where Richard and his brother Dave slept. So she went up to the window. Richard! Richard! And the curtain pulled open, and this white-faced young man looked out of the window, and then a look of relief fell over him. He thought God was calling him. He thought, but do you know what? He got up and went. Do you notice that? He didn't stay in his bed thinking, oh no, it's God calling me. He got up and he opened the curtain to look. What's your heart today? Are you thinking, oh, if God calls me, if God knocks on my door, how will I respond? The fact of the matter is, he's knocking. Okay? Today, he's knocking at our heart's door. And we're going to have a nice meal together in a minute. And there aren't as many of us as I thought it was going to be, so there's going to be plenty of seconds as well, okay? Um, What are we going to do with that invitation? Jesus says, I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. Are we going to open today? Or today thinking, no, I'm not in a good frame of mind today. I don't particularly want to do this. I'm here, but I don't particularly want to go any further with. But Jesus is knocking. He's persistent. Okay? He's persistent. But he won't force. He won't force any of us to open the door. That's our choice. So what's your choice today? Leave it closed or open it? Say, come in, Jesus. Sit down with him. There's a meal, there's a heavenly meal prepared. We can come, we can have fellowship with him over a meal, talking to him, and he with us. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that there is such a lot that we can think about with food in the Bible. But Lord, we thank you that the bottom line is that you want to share with us. Lord God, Lord, there's Abraham, Mary and Martha, and Simon the Pharisee, all these different ones. And as Heather's reminded us, there's the feeding of the 5,000 and then the 4,000 and all, so many, Lord God. But you say, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. So today, Lord, we want to say, yes, come in. Come into our heart, Lord, and minister to us, share your love with us. And as well, Lord Jesus, we pray that you would come, Lord, and share not just a meal with us, but your whole life with us, Lord. Lord, we so want to know you in a better way. So, Lord, as we want to use these scriptures, Lord, to invite you to come in. We want to you, Lord, to come in to our lives today for that fellowship we can have with you, Lord. We ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen.